today as we come to the table.
Almost always, when God gives a promise, there is a lapse of time between the time God gives the promise and the time we see the promise fulfilled. And the tough part for us is in between that time, not trying to make it happen. How many times have I done that? I can tell you a lot. And I have suffered the consequences of trying to do that. And God is slowly and surely saying to me the same thing he's trying to teach Abram and Sarah, and probably saying some of the same things to you, is that, look, I've made these promises, relax. I'm not saying that we're not to do what God asked us to do and to do our part, but we have to wait on the Lord and not try to make this thing happen.
Waiting. Probably one of the hardest things for Christians and unbelievers is waiting. For those of us who believe in Jesus, we wait on what God has promised us. He will always fulfill his promises, but it can take some time. It's not going to be with a snap of your fingers, as much as we might wish it would. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will remind you to practice some patience when the Lord gives you his word. Sometimes we can lose faith when we have to wait, but take heart. Because as we see in so many areas of the Bible, our God has never left us or gone back on his word or a promise of what's to come. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 16, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
I notice it mentions here that she had an Egyptian handmaid or maidservant, and she said, hey, why don't we... You know, Abram, we could. Hey, you know, I was thinking, rather than saying, wow, we need to seek the Lord. And God, what do you want us to do here? And so, again, it's interesting to me. We have to remember in Scripture that Egypt is what? A type of the world. And now we see her looking to her Egyptian maidservant saying, hey, you know, the world does it this way. Why don't we just take the world's path and let's have a baby? You know, I mean, God promised he was going to do this. And so let's go for it. Let's see what God will do. And so she encourages Abram. She says, hey, take Hagar as your wife. Let's have a child through her. And you know, it's God will do it that way. No, God didn't say he's going to do it that way. You know, God didn't tell Abram how he was going to do it. But we know from the word of God that God intended it to be through Sarah. God didn't say, and the two shall become three. God said, and the two shall become one. And serve the Lord. And so they knew the word of God. They knew what had happened with Adam and Eve. They knew how God had created, that they weren't supposed to be doing this. And yet what do? They do it anyway because it was culturally accepted. A lot of questions come up. Why do they have multiple wives then? Again, it was culturally accepted, but it was not biblically accepted. And that's where they messed up. And now he takes this other wife and they're going to, you know, help God out, if you will. And again, anytime we try to help God out, we're going to get ourselves in big trouble. God knows what he's doing. I think he's got things well under control. But our problem is we don't seem to know that. And so we try to somehow get involved in the process. Now, again, notice here at the end of the verse 1, it says, or the end of verse 2, it says, and Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Now, this was Abram's big mistake. They both made a mistake here. Sarai's big mistake was what? Sarai's big mistake was saying, hey, why don't we try to do this thing the way the world does? You take another wife, we'll have a child that way. She messed up. Abram's big mistake was letting her do it. Note this. It says, Abram heeded the voice of his wife. Now, what do I mean by that? Listen, it wasn't that he was messing up by listening to counsel from his wife. A wise husband will do that. And God has given us husbands and wives so that we can come together in our family and decide and pray and seek the Lord to decide what is the best decision for our family in this situation. The mistake was made when Abram recognized something that was wrong, or should have recognized something that was wrong, and didn't stop it and didn't correct it. And that responsibility falls on both of us. If the husband or the wife is heading a direction that is unbiblical, we need to speak up and let them know. And in this situation, Abram should never have gone along with this. Abram should have put his foot down and said, wait a minute, this is not right. We shouldn't do this. God had said he's going to give us a baby. And so therefore, we're not going to go. And I know that everybody's doing it. I know that it's acceptable, but we're just not going to do it. He heeded the voice of his wife. Now again, Abram wanted a child badly as well, but I think that, you know, Sarah wanted a child even more. So I'm sure she was really pushing this. You know, again, having the emotional drive, having the biological drive. And so she said, hey, we're going to do this thing. And Abram didn't make his stand and didn't stop her. And again, it's interesting to me, even with this kind of surrogate motherhood thing, even when we see that today, you know, you've seen those cases where somebody's a surrogate mother and they carry someone else's baby and this kind of, I don't know, maybe some of them come out okay, but how many times do you see it on TV where it's going to court? Where it's caused this big kerfuffle, if you will, where somebody's suing somebody and the woman's changed her mind and all these things are happening. Again, because, you know, we need to let God do things the way he's going to do. God didn't intend certain things for us to do. And so now we find they're in big trouble here and they're making this fleshly decision, which is causing big problems. Notice verse 3, it says, then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. Now note this, how long? After Abram had dwelt how long? 10 years in the land. Now this is why this is interesting. Note this. Last week we saw that when God spoke to Abram and promised him a child, guess how long it had been since God sent him into the promised land? 10 years. Now we come to chapter 16. Guess how long it says Abram has been in the land when Sarah brings the scheme? 10 years. What's my point? It wasn't like Sarah heard this and said, all right, well, let's wait a while. Let's be patient. Let's give God time to work. Let's seek the Lord. Let's pray about this thing. It was like, God said what? All right, what do we have to do? Let me think about this. Let's plan that. It was right then. And you talk about a lack of patience. It just shows you Sarah was ready to go. And again, I understand the emotional drive. I understand the biological drive, not from being there, but from knowing how we are as humans. And Sarah's like, you know what? God said it, let's go. And I have to admit, I've been there. When God says, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm like, well, what time is it? You know, honey, start the car. And God oftentimes tells us things and then says, it's going to be a while. And see, we find out that later on, it's going to be 13 more years. Until God fulfills this promise. I mean, Sarah's jumping in the car now. She's making plans. She's doing all the things now. And it's going to be 13 years until God brings this to pass. Because here's the lesson in this for us. Almost always, when God gives a promise, there is a lapse of time between the time God gives the promise and the time we see the promise fulfilled. And the tough part for us is in between that time, not trying to make it happen. How many times have I done that? I can tell you a lot. And I have suffered the consequences of trying to do that. And God is slowly and surely saying to me the same thing he's trying to teach Abram and Sarah, and probably saying some of the same things to you, is that, look, I've made these promises. Relax. I'm not saying that we're not to do what God asked us to do and to do our part, but we have to wait on the Lord and not try to make this thing happen. We have to trust in God and watch God bring it in his timing. And so they needed to learn this lesson, and they're going to learn it, all right, but they're going to learn it the hard way. Notice they follow through. Verse 4, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Notice this. As soon as Hagar realized she was carrying Abram's child, she despised Sarai. You know, we don't know all the reasons. Probably some jealousy. Probably some envy, realizing that that was really the wife that he loved and she was just kind of filling in so they could have a baby. But there was probably a great taunting, and we're going to see that this taunting does happen for sure later on when it comes to Ishmael being born and they begin to taunt she and Isaac and all this. But there was this kind of, you know what, I can have a baby, you can't, ha ha ha. He probably cares more for me than he does you. I'm the one carrying his child. And there began to be this animosity and this back and forth, this, you know, anger between the two going on here, an ugly situation. And again, already the consequences of the flesh beginning to kick in. Simply by making a fleshly decision, already we see this monster. You see, here's how flesh, it starts out sometimes as a little tyke. You know, just, oh, that's cute. That's a little thing. That little decision won't affect much. we go away, we spend a little time, you know, away from it. We come back and there's this huge monster, this thing, huge flesh monster wanting to eat us up like a giant Pac-Man, you know? And we're running up and down the aisles here. Whoa, 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 whoa. You know, we're like, you know? It's because we've unleashed it. We've opened the door to the flesh. It's our fault, and yet now we're running from it. Yes, God will deliver us, but we can guard ourselves from getting into these situations by simply saying, you know what? I'm going to seek you on this, Lord. And now she's got this whole thing going with her maidservant. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of rooms in the tent. Not a lot of way to get away from each other. And so now that she's got this tension in her home, they've got this stress in their home, they've got these consequences in their home, all because they didn't seek the Lord. Ever been there? I have. And so we need to learn the lesson the way that Abram and Sarah here are learning it. And that is, you know, seek the Lord. Ask God what he wants to do. And so now there's this ugliness of this flesh. And notice verse 5, then Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. Now you got to love her. This is your fault. You did this, you know. And yet she made the decision, but we'll give some balance to this because I do believe Abram has some blame here. Notice it says, the rest of the verse, I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between you and me. Now again, she's coming on pretty strong with him. She's giving a strong rebuke to Abram. And you might say right on the surface, oh, wait a minute now, Sarai. You're the one made the decision. You're the one that pushed this thing. And I don't come down on Abram because you did it. Wait a minute. Okay, agreed. She messed up. She made a bad decision. It was in the flesh. But where was the man of the home? Where was Abram saying, wait a minute, honey, I don't think this is right. Or at least saying, we need to pray. You know, we need to seek the Lord on this. I know it's culturally accepted. I know that socially it's legal. But we need to seek the Lord and find out whether or not this is something God wants us to do and find out what His word has to say about it. Now, again, although she was wrong, she was not completely out of line here by holding him partly accountable. And why is that? Because the Bible says that ultimately, notice this, ultimately the Bible teaches the husband is responsible for the family decisions and what happens in the home. Doesn't mean the wife's off the hook. Now, stop smiling. Stop hitting those elbows on the, you know, hear that, honey? You're only responsible, you know. That's true. God's going to hold the wife accountable as well. We're all held accountable for our own decisions and our own sin, aren't we? But here's the principle that we have to grasp as husbands. And guys, this is a heavy one I'm going to lay on us. Here it is. We're ultimately responsible. The Bible says so. Now, we can't make our wife and our kids make all the right decisions, and we can't even know everything they're doing, can we? Here's the key. What we do know, we are commanded to take action on. There should be no such thing as, that's my room, stay out, mom and dad, the door's closed, I'll have the posters I want, I'll watch the TV shows I want, and I'll use the internet the way I want. Wait a minute, what? Whose room is that? My room. No, 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 no. How much did you pay for that room? Well, I'm your child. How much did you pay for that room? All right, you bought it. But it's my room. Whose room? All right, it's your room. What's your point, dad? Because I've been through this with my girls. Whose room? It's my room. I will let you use it while you live here and grow up under my instruction, but that room will be governed by me, your father. That TV will be governed by me, your father. That internet will be governed by me, your father, because I'm the one God's going to hold accountable. You are my guest and a very welcome one, but this is not your home. It is mine. And yes, it is yours by proxy, so to speak, but I'm responsible. Listen, we are responsible dads for what our kids are doing. And part of the problem we have, matter of fact, one of the largest problem we have with our kids in society today is that we aren't being dads the way we should be. And I'm not beating us all up. I'm not saying you, all right? I'm saying as a society, we are not being responsible for our children and the way that our homes are run and even our wives and all these things. God's saying, look, you're responsible. And when Sarah rebukes him here, she has some grounds. Now, again, she's wrong, but she has a leg to stand on here, so to speak. And again, because he was the one that was, again, held accountable by God as to what's going on in the home and what's going on with the family. It's interesting to me here, the meaning of the word wrong is literally legal injustice. Here's what she's saying to him. Abram, my legal injustice be upon you. Why? Because you're legally accountable before God. And then she says at the end of the verse, may God judge between us. I've done wrong, but you're the one that's supposed to be watching. Now, I'm not getting Sarah off the hook again. But Abram here was not completely off the hook either. And before God, he was responsible. He had allowed this, and now he's in big trouble as well as she is. And it's time for him to step up to the plate and help her and do something about this. And so You know, it's interesting when you look at this, and even in the garden with Adam and Eve, what happened? Eve is the one that was deceived, the Bible says. The Bible says Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was. Well, that makes Adam's sin all the worse. Eve was deceived and was just, I don't know how you can say, honestly deceived and did it. He was dishonestly rebellious. He knew better and just partook with her as well. And here's what's interesting to me. Although Eve led the charge in the sin in the garden, who did God blame? The Bible says in Romans that sin entered the world by one woman? No. It says sin entered the world by one man, and that man, Adam. Now, why do I find that interesting? Here's the biblical principle. Although she was the first one to do it, God held Adam accountable and responsible. Why? Because Adam, she told you what was going on and you didn't stop it. Matter of fact, not only did you not stop it, you partook. You became a party to it. You went along with it, Adam. Therefore, by one man, I'm holding you responsible, by one man, sin entered the world. And so it shows the heaviness that we have. Again, I don't want to overwhelm us, heavy, so to speak, but we need that responsibility. We need to understand that. And if it's something that kicks us into gear to say, all right, I guess I am responsible, then maybe we need to be kicked into gear. And that's exactly what Abram was having to learn here. Now, again, it is interesting here in this next verse. Notice it says in verse 6, so Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. I don't know if he was still passing the buck by saying, look, that's your problem. You deal with it. Or whether or not he was saying, all right, look, your handmaid's under your, you know, responsibility. She's yours. And they did have different servants that, you know, in essence belonged to them. He says, she's in your hand. That means under your authority. Deal with her as you please. And notice here it says, when Sarah dealt with her or dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. How does Sarai deal with her? Harshly. You can imagine. And I'm not taking up for Sarai. She was wrong here, but so is Hagar. Again, Hagar is rubbing this in and making this big scene, and so she is bringing this on herself. But here's Sarai now, all worked up, all emotional, all upset. She's brought these, all these consequences are there because she didn't seek the Lord. She's walking in the flesh, and now she goes to, you know, Hagar, and just, woo, there's this fight. You know, and who knows what happened? It doesn't tell us what happened. But she was so harsh with her, and this whole thing going on, we see that Hagar finally goes, I'm out of here. That's it. I'm done. I'm gone. And she runs out the door. Now, again, we're going to look at Hagar, and we're going to see that what Hagar did was wrong. And the good news is we're going to see that God meets Hagar and says, come on now, it's time to come back. It's time to come under those that God has put over you, submit to that authority and do what's right. But at the same time, we see Sarai here losing it with her and dealing harshly with her, and no doubt venting her anger and her frustration at Hagar, who, again, because of all this situation that had happened. But again, what I think we need to recognize here is it was their fault. It was Abram and Sarah's fault. They brought this on themselves. And whenever we make a foolish and fleshly decision, this will be the result of it. It's going to bring consequences on us. And now we see that they're facing those consequences. What an important lesson for us to learn. As I said, we're going to go on and we're going to find out what happened after Hagar fled from there, because we're going to see that Hagar repents and comes back, and God restores this relationship, at least to some degree, because we find out that Sarah and Hagar are able to live together. Again, for this whole time until the promise of the baby comes, for another 13 years, and then we're going to see it flare up again. And the next time, it's going to be completely Hagar's fault. Again, this time, Sarai messing up. Next time, we'll see that it's Hagar's fault, and we're going to see that God deals with that as well at that time. But what is in this for us today? What is what we need to grasp today? The main thing that I want to get across to our hearts today as we finish this portion of Scripture is really we need to ask ourselves this question: are we living according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? And you can see by Abram and Sarah's life how important it is we settle this issue. If we are living by the flesh, we're going to have the consequences of the flesh. If we are living by the Spirit, we're going to have the consequences of the Spirit, which are blessing and peace. Now, again, we'll have our trials, we'll have our hard times, but we have enough of those without adding stuff on ourselves. You know, it's hard enough when we're doing the right thing, isn't it? Now add on top of it fleshly decisions. We need to ask ourselves, listen, am I making daily decisions based on how I feel? Based on what I think? Or am I saying, you know what? Whoa, everything's on hold here. Lord, I seek you. What should I do here, God? Give me your wisdom. Give me your grace. Give me your Spirit. And Lord, I will do whatever it is you say. Now, not only do we need to be seeking the Lord, we need to also have our hearts open to say, all right, Lord, whatever you tell me, I'll do. A lot of times we seek the Lord and say, all right, God, what do you want? And God tells us and we don't listen, do we? You ever notice how we as husbands can have convenient listening and inconvenient listening? I mean, you know, we hear certain things and we don't hear others. You know? Honey, I need some help. You know, we don't always hear that until we hear it again, or until she comes after us, right? Let's say our kids do the same thing. Well, what about when God's talking to us? Listen, here's something I don't want you to do, but we want to do it so bad that somehow we just don't hear that, do we? And we kind of block it out of our mind and go our way. Listen, we not only need to seek the Lord and say, God, I want what you want. We have to also say now, this is a tough thing for me, Lord. So whatever it is, I ask that you give me ears to hear what your decision is. Because there's one decision I don't want to hear. But if you make it clear that's what you want, I will do it. See, that's the heart that God wants. Whatever decision you say, Lord, I will do it. And we need to decide if we're going to walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh. Waiting on the Lord to give us decision as we pray and as we seek him. You know, God has a perfect plan for our life as his kids. But we have to make sure that we're daily seeking him to find out what that is. You can trust Abram and Sarah. It will save you and all of those around you great heartache and great consequences. So what do we seek today? We seek God's spirit. We seek God's wisdom. And we say, Lord, show me what it is you want. I want to walk according to you and not according to the flesh. I've spent enough time doing that. I spent enough time wasting my life, wasting my years, facing the consequences. I now want to do what you asked me to do. If you do that, God will meet you and God will answer you. And let's ask him to do that today. Let's pray. Lord, that is our prayer right now. Lord, that you would help us to walk in the spirit and not according to the flesh. It is so easy, Lord, to make decisions just on what feels right. It just seems right. It's a no-brainer. Boy, does that get us into trouble, Lord. I pray that you would teach us that when it comes to making decisions for our family and for our life, there's no such thing as a no-brainer. But Lord, we need to take everything to you in prayer. And so, Lord, there may be some that are suffering the consequences of making fleshly decisions. God, show them your grace. Give them encouragement. I pray that right now you would minister to them and let them know, okay, yes, you made a wrong decision, but I am the Lord. And I will deliver you from this. And I will strengthen you in this. And I will teach you and mold you and shape you and make you what I want you to be through this. But trust in me. And from this point on, Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to seek you on all those decisions and encourage in the midst of the consequences. But Lord, our desire is that we'd walk in the Spirit so we can avoid the consequences that you don't want us to have to face. So Lord, help us now to purpose in our hearts to faithfully seek you about everything. Lord, to seek you each day in the word and in prayer and just in crying out to you, Lord, saying, God, what do you have for my life? What do you have for this day? What should I do in this situation? And God, give us hearts that will receive whatever it is you tell us to do. And Lord, I want to pray as well for us as dads in here and as husbands. Lord, that you would help us to understand the responsibility that we have to lead our homes and our wives and our children. And Lord, that although we can't control every decision they make and although we may not even know everything they're doing, God, give us courage and boldness and the grace to deal with what we do know. Lord, that we can be not only accountable to them, and responsible to them, but Lord, accountable and responsible before you. So Lord, again, we thank you that you have given us your spirit, that we might walk in the spirit. And Lord, teach us now to be men and women of the spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, our time at the table of God's word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites his chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how he brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what he's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily, being willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table.
Come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.